actinic speck of sunlight. For a few moments, there was a fleeting twilight cast by the last phantom streamers of starfire whipping down the ship's cavernous throat. Then, save for the soft halo of icy blue cast around Prey herself by the light of her corflux, there was darkness in the temple for the first time since the dive had commenced. The second hour. There was, Prey knew, still one more task which propriety demanded she undertake before she could begin casting an ascent shaft. It was a formality whose completion would no doubt be chained to the commencement of Zarek knew how many fresh tasks. She would need to summon Bacnefet. It could not be put off for long. And yet, Prey thought, if I cannot allow myself a moment now to bask in the majesty of this work, then when shall I?
When we have sucked the night sky black, snapped a voice, like a blunt rusted blade from the darkness behind her back. When every spark of sunlight from edge to wretched edge of this galaxy comes from within the belly of the dynasty's engines. Then, O wicked and lazy disciple, said Bacnefet the Fathomless, prime solar monster of the royal conclave of Thokt, drinker of the radiance by personal commission of the Pharaon, and shipmaster of the solar bark 1,000,000 years, we might both consider a moment's rest.
Shamed, Prey went through the entire casting of the ascent shaft before she could master her chagrin sufficiently to face Bacnefet. Flickering her consciousness between rapid collapse scry points in the storm above as she laid down the shaft's gravitic anchors, she was able to escape the presence of her mistress in a very real sense. And by the time her perspective had consolidated, so had her composure. The way lies open to the touch of your staff, O Fathomless One, said Prey at last, when the funnel-shaped field that would hold the storm back from their ascent became stable. Then, with care to ensure the light from her discharge nodes remained level and nondescript, she turned to acknowledge her mistress. When Bacnefet materialized by hard scry in the temple, the scale to which the chamber was built no longer seemed as unreasonable as it did when Prey was alone there. The cryptek was colossal, seeming large enough to shoo assault monoliths away from her shins like scarabs. It gave the impression of immense bulk, despite the spindled attenuation of her frame, thanks to the heaped folds of her woven sapphire robes, and to the broad half-spiral crests which jutted from her faceplate like horns. Lit dimly from above, with her hypermatter-infused corflux rising in chilly blue puffs from her shoulders, she resembled nothing more than some ice-bound, unscalable crag towering above Prey. Spreading her crooked arms in the gesture of entreaty for passage, Bacnefet turned her rosette of pinprick oculars upwards to stare into some distant radiation school beyond the hull, and began to move the ship towards the open mouth of the shaft. As she progressed through the stages of the ritual, scratching obscure aid memoirs in wriggling light across the temple's interior, she began muttering to Prey once more.
How much sooner might the way have been opened and our cargo sent on its way, I wonder, were it not for the vanity of younger minds? Was it idleness or error? Did you perhaps presume I was lost in dreaming and thus disinclined to care for the death of a minute against that massacre of years?
The third hour.
Who is hurt by the idleness of the messenger?
Grumbled Bacnefet, her godlike figure still sermonizing on Prey's flaws as she worked.
Who shall it hurt should we hold back the bringing of the deep light to the court of Thokt? Who shall it hurt in these days when the Quiet One is heard again, when the sand-born general swallows the east in gulps, when even Val Ghul twice perished stalks the void once more? It shall hurt the Pharaon, to whose right hand we are mandated to deliver lightning.
Prey carried on with the casting rites of circumspection ahead of the ship, sweeping over the passage of stabilized plasma upwards and ahead, then sidelong through the protective fields into the eternal band of storm at the star's surface. As Bacnefet's excoriation grew less anchored on anything Prey had actually done, she imagined a similar field around herself, repelling the words. Although Prey hardly dared think it, given how casually her mistress seemed able to read thoughts directly from her corflux,